KJAN Sports.
It is time for a look at sports this morning. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. Let's take a look at some high school sports from the weekend. First, in high school wrestling, lots of tournament wrestling going on over the weekend. At the Dan Hill Invitational in Harlan, Gretna, Nebraska was the team champion. It's 260.5 points. Logan Magnolia with 218, the runner-up. Glenwood was third with 164. Ankeny and Urbandale round out the top five. Harlan was sixth. Abe Lincoln and Denison also in the hunt there as well. Also taking a look at some of the numbers around the area at the Greenfield at the Coach Riley Invitational, the Van Meter Earlham Wrestling Squad was the champ with 160 points. Bedford Lennox with 115.5, the runner-up. ACGC with 112 was third. Clarinda and AHSTW were fourth and fifth in that meet on Saturday. Also, looking at the trainer tournament, Panorama had 228.5 points, and they were the team champions at the trainer wrestling tournament Saturday. Trainer had 143 points for second place. Southwest Iowa with 128 was third. Exira EHK had 116 for fourth. AHSTW was fifth, as they had 91 points in that meet. Also, taking a look at some of the numbers individually, AHSTW's Joel Sampson was the champ at 106. Seth Bradford of Exira EHK won the title of 170 pounds in that meet on Saturday. Also Saturday, the Dallas Center Grimes Mustang Invitational. Creston scored 208 points, and they were the champions in that meet. Ankeny Centennial with 166 was the closest to the Panthers in that meet on Saturday. At the Bob Murphy Invitational, Red Oak had 108 points. They placed eighth in that meet over in Manchester on Saturday. And also at the Bob Earhart Invitational over in Nebraska, Shenandoah with 124.5 points ended up in third place in that meet. That's a Saturday wrestling recap here locally. Also in high school basketball on Saturday, in girls' hoops, it was Exira EHK downing Charter Oak Ute 77-32. Coon Rapids Bayard beat Woodbine 48-32. Glenn Ralston, a winner over Arweva 64-21. It was Panorama in overtime over IKM Manning 48-43 in girls' hoops. In boys' Saturday basketball, Lennox defeating Creston 89-81. It was IKM Manning over Panorama 73-35. Cam over West Harrison 54-33. Coon Rapids Bayard beat Woodbine 66-21. Arweva downing Glenn Ralston 73-26 in Saturday boys' basketball. In Sunday, top 25 men's college hoops, third-ranked North Carolina walked all over Radford 95-50 on Sunday. Also yesterday, Robert Johnson with 17 points and 7 rebounds, helped number 13 Indiana rout Southeast Missouri State 83-55, and was number 20 South Carolina beating Florida International 70-54. Well, for the fifth time since 2003, the Iowa Hawkeyes are headed to the Outback Bowl. The Hawkeyes will play Florida in the January 2nd game in Tampa, Florida. It'll be the third time Iowa's played the Gators in the Outback Bowl.
When they told us the opponent, there again, familiarity not with this team because all of the players have changed over since the last time we played, but familiarity with another great college football tradition. I guess you would call this the rubber match since we've split in Outback Bowls. But great experience the several times that we've been to this bowl.
That's Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta. This will be Iowa's 14th trip to a bowl game in 16 years.
One of our preseason goals this year was not only to play in a bowl game, but win a bowl game. And that's been on our wall for quite a while. And, having a chance to play in this game gives us a great opportunity for that, but also presents a tremendous challenge when you look at the University of Florida.
That's Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz. The Hawkeyes won their final three games to finish 8-4, including victories over second-ranked Michigan and number 16 Nebraska.
One thing I learned a long time ago, if you have success on the field, it just gives you more opportunity in all regards. And we got knocked out of the conference race a while back, but you're still playing for a lot of things that are significant. And going to a bowl is very special for anybody that competes as a college athlete. And then, with every win, typically you get a better venue.
Ferentz says that the Hawkeyes developed an identity late in the season.
I think we kind of learned a little bit more about ourselves in the month of November, and we're probably not the prettiest car on the lot, but, we got to the finish line, and, we may not win a beauty contest, but at least we can we can maybe compete a little bit, and we're going to have to in this game because I know these guys are good.
Iowa's path to the Outback Bowl became clear after four Big Ten teams qualified for the New Year's Six Bowls, and the Outback chose the Hawkeyes over Nebraska.
The reason they were selected this year, and we know a lot of people wanted them in their bowl game, is the way they finished winning those games at the end and making everything just feel right. That's why we took Iowa.
Well, they did give me a name. That's the gentleman named McVay, who is with the Outback Bowl, and he says the way Iowa finished the season made them even more attractive.
When you get a team that's hot like that, that can play with anybody in the country, and you've had great experiences with these guys, you know, Iowa's got everything you want in a bowl team.
Florida is 8-4 on the season after they were walloped by Alabama in the SEC championship game. These two teams split their first two Outback meetings, the Hawkeyes winning to end the 2003 season, the Gators prevailing 2 years later. They've only met one other time. That was in 1983. And we'll have that game for you here on KJAN coming up on Monday, January 2nd. In other bowl matchups, Mississippi State and North Texas are heading to bowls with 5-7 records. With 80 bowl spots to fill, some postseason games ended up with odd matchups and teams with losing records. It's similar to last year when there were also not enough 500 teams to fill all the spots. North Texas will face Army in the Heart of Dallas Bowl on December 27th. That's a rematch of their game at Army on October 22nd, which North Texas won 35-18. Mississippi State will take on Miami of Ohio. That'll be the St. Petersburg Bowl on December 26th. Now, the four schools fighting for the national championship in college football are, as they are seeded from 1-4, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Washington. The Clemson Tigers will face Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl, while the Alabama Crimson Tide goes up against the Huskies of Washington in the Peach Bowl. Those will serve as the national semifinal games. Left out from the semifinals are Penn State and Michigan, finishing 5th and 6th in the rankings. The results show three schools from the Big Ten among the top six. It all comes down to the national championship game January 9th in Tampa. Some other major bowl game matchups. Michigan will face Florida State in the Orange Bowl. Southern Cal goes up against Penn State in the Rose Bowl. Wisconsin will meet Western Michigan in the Cotton Bowl. Auburn will play Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl. Alabama heads into the postseason with a chance to become the third wire-to-wire champion in the history of the Associated Press College Football Poll. The Crimson Tide was number one in the final AP Top 25 of the regular season yesterday, just as they had been since the preseason. Ohio State is number two, Clemson three, and Washington four. The college football playoff pairings were also released yesterday. Penn State was fifth in the AP poll, followed by Michigan, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin. Iowa was ranked 21st, and Nebraska ranked 24th. Iowa takes on Florida in the Outback Bowl. Nebraska is lined up to take on Tennessee in the Music City Bowl in Nashville. Kansas State will play Texas A&M in the Texas Bowl. The Crimson Tide enters the postseason looking to win back-to-back championships and to join Florida State in 1999 and Southern California in 2004 as the only teams to be the AP number one from start to finish. Alabama would be the 12th team to win two straight Associated Press championships if they can finish it off. In the NFL yesterday, of all the ways to win a game, Eric Berry returned an interception for a touchdown, and then he brought back another pick for a two-point conversion that gave the Kansas City Chiefs an improbable 29-28 victory over the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. The Falcons, rallying from a 27-16 deficit, went up 28-27 on Matt Ryan's five-yard touchdown pass to Aldrick Robinson with 4:32 remaining. Well, Atlanta, with a one-point lead, decided to go for two to stretch that margin to a field goal. Bad decision. Berry stepped in front of Ryan's pass, and he took it 99 yards the other way to give the Chiefs the 2 points, and that was their winning margin. That came after Denver won a game in similar fashion last month, returning a blocked PAT for the winning points at New Orleans. Berry had another huge play with less than a minute to go in the first half, picking off Ryan's pass over the middle and bringing it back 37 yards for a touchdown. After reaching the end zone, the suburban Atlanta native handed the ball to his mother sitting in the stands at the Georgia Dome. Those weren't the only big plays for the Chiefs. On a 4th-and-2 from their own 45, KC faked a punt and snapped the ball directly to Albert Wilson, who played his college ball in the same stadium for Georgia State. Wilson burst up the middle for a 55-yard touchdown that extended Kansas City's lead in the third quarter. Alex Smith completed 21 of 25 passes for 270 yards, including a 3-yard touchdown to Spencer Ware. Travis Kelce was Kansas City's top receiver, hauling in 8 passes for 140 yards in a victory heard here on KJAN yesterday. Elsewhere in the NFL yesterday, Denver beat Jacksonville 20-10, Baltimore down Miami 38-6. It was Green Bay over Houston 21-13. Chicago beat San Francisco 26-6. Cincinnati topping Philadelphia 32-14. New England over Los Angeles 26-10. Detroit beat New Orleans 28-13. Oakland over Buffalo 38-24. Arizona beat Washington 31-23. Tampa Bay down San Diego 28-21. It was Pittsburgh over the New York Giants 24-14. Seattle clobbered Carolina 40-7. And in baseball news, a person familiar with the negotiation says free agent outfielder Matt Holliday and the New York Yankees have agreed to a $13 million one-year contract. Holliday, who turns 37 next month, fits into the Yankees' strategy of signing veterans to short-term deals while pivoting toward a youth movement. A seven-time All-Star, Holliday slipped lately as he hit .246 with 20 homers and 62 RBIs in 110 games last season for the St. Louis Cardinals. That's a look at sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.